Welcome to It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copeland. Featuring stimulating in-depth interviews with special guests from all areas of the arts. And now, here's your host for It's a Question of Balance, Ruth Copeland.
Welcome to the show where we balance the intellectual with the creative, exploring whether we have more in common than divides us through thought-provoking conversations. For the topic hour, I go out and about and talk to people on the street about a wide variety of different topics that affect us all, both locally and globally. And for this, the Arts Hour, I interview local, national and international guests from all areas of the arts. And I combine a debate topic with an arts interview because I feel discussion and creativity are two of the most vital ways we engage with the world. Well, this week, my arts guests are from the Cinequest world premiere film Pi. First, I'll be talking to actress Jessica Paré, and then later in the show, I'll be interviewing award-winning editor Mindy Elliott and award-winning writer and star of Pi, Adria Tenner. Pi is a darkly original short film about love and betrayal, featuring a homemade pie with a secret and scandalous ingredient. Jessica Paré is a Canadian actress and singer who has starred in many films, both in her native Canada and in the US. She has also had many successful TV roles, including Megan Draper in the Emmy Award-winning series Mad Men. Her in-show performance of the song Zubizu Bizu proved so popular that it became a hit download on iTunes and reached number one on the Billboard World chart. She's currently starring in the CBS show SEAL Team. I spoke to Jessica earlier today during a break from her busy filming schedule. So let's hear our conversation. Welcome to the show, Jessica.
Thank you so much for having me.
Pi is a pretty unusual story. We'll be talking more about it later with the screenwriter, Adria Tenner, and I certainly don't want to give anything away before people see the film, but I think it's safe to say the film is a tale of romantic relationship gone awry and betrayal, told in a succinct and darkly original way. I'm wondering what attracted you to the project.
I've known Adria for quite a while. We worked together on Mad Men and became friends. And I, as soon as she told me she'd written a script and that she was thinking about having me read it and perhaps be in it, I was very excited because I'm also looking for ways to support my friends and support female filmmakers. And I loved the script. I thought, as you put it, that it's very dark and there's a real unique take on the what is not necessarily a new story, of course, but it is, I feel, it's a different perspective on it.
Yes, yeah. The film has a healthy proportion of women working on it, including Adria Tenner, actress, writer and producer on the film, and Mindy Elliott, the editor, both of whom I'll be talking to later in the show. Historically, with so few women in film, there was a dearth of role models and mentors. Do you feel that's changing?
I think it's changing, yeah. I mean, I think the numbers are still pitiful.
Yeah.
But I think it's slowly becoming, you know, we have definitely, we're making progress.
Yeah, I know. I was reading a Variety article about various research that was done, and you're right, the numbers are still pitiful, sadly. But yeah, hopefully, like you're saying, you know, women supporting women also in projects is one way to try and increase that ratio. Yeah.
I think so. I mean, I think a lot about how the cultural shift can really. I mean, it feels so slow. It feels so incremental. But of course, that's part of how these movements change the world and change culture. And you know, here we're making culture. So I think if you have more women telling their own stories and more people of color and different voices to add to this narrative, this cultural narrative, then things will sort of, I think, begin to change more quickly. But that's maybe just my naive hope.
Yeah. Well, one can hope it does build, you know, sort of, you know, the 100 monkey thing, perhaps, you know, you sort of get to a certain point and then it might kind of tumble forward in a greater way. But anyway, there's a hope that might happen with, you know, perhaps with representation. We can hope that might be the case. Yeah. All art, I think, is about communication, and acting is unique because you're creating art by communicating someone else's artistic vision. I'm wondering if there's a kind of responsibility on the actor to understand the writer's vision and convey it, and how you approach that.
Oh, yes, I think so. I think it is the actor's responsibility to understand the writer's intention. I think there's also, it's also the actor's responsibility to bring sort of life and, you know, bones and blood into that, the interpretation, or into the intention. I think, you know, for a lot of women in the industry, we've been too, but for a lot of women, we felt like there hasn't actually been that much on the page for our characters a lot of the time.
Right.
You know, you'll ask a filmmaker, well, why does she do this? Why does she do this? Make this strange choice.
Yeah.
Treat the hero like this, you know, inevitably. And they'll actually admit that they have no idea, because they just don't understand why women would do anything that they do. And that's a bummer. And it's my, you know, it's our job to build onto and to tell the story of a whole person, because it's not always on the page.
That's a good point.
And then I think for when it is, there's also, you know, the writer takes the intention so far. And then, you know, you as I said, you fill it, and you, as an actor, want to have your own interpretation and your own unique bend on it. Mm. That's why we've seen so many people play like the same roles, but come out with such different takes on a character.
Yeah,
because like everybody brings their own stuff to it.
Yeah. Once you've got to a point of feeling that you understand where you're going with the character, where the writer wanted to, and you've added all of those flesh and bones, as you say, how do you actually go about embodying the character? What's your process as an actor?
It kind of depends on the character at hand. I'm playing this part on TV series right now called Seal Team, and she said, CIA analyst, which is unlike anything that I've done before. Not my brand. It's been different physically, in the sense that she's very like closed, she's very still, she's very tight. I suppose I don't do a lot of thinking about the character in like a physical way before I start to play her. It just kind of emerges.
Right. Yeah. I could imagine that. I interviewed Jane Lynch and comedy writer Carol Leifer about their short film Writer's Block, and I posited that with people's diminishing attention spans, perhaps the short film is the format of the future. And I'm wondering what you like about the short film format. Obviously, Pi is a short film.
Well, I think it's I agree with you. I think it's a little bite-sized feature, and I think that often it's a lot harder, of course, to tell a story in a shorter period of time.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. I think it's harder to write a short story than it is to write a novel. Haven't you heard that a million times? I've never tried doing either, so.
I think every moment counts if you're doing something short, you know, so in that sense, you don't have the luxury of, you know, things playing out a bit. You have to really make every moment really counts if you have like a 10-minute film. Yeah. Yeah, what you're putting forward. Yeah.
Every image has to be carefully curated.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Pi, you know, it's very visually rich as well. I would say also that the design, you know, production design is probably more important in some ways in a short film also, because you've had a very short visual impact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is this a good time to say that I haven't yet seen the film? But the Saturday night will be my first time.
Well, I can tell you I've seen it because I was privileged to have a screener, so I knew what I was talking about. So, well, you will be pleasantly surprised then. Well, I know about surprised. You will, I think, be...
I was there when we shot it.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, so it is very visually rich and you'll really enjoy it, I think, from that perspective. Yeah.
Glad to hear it.
Yeah. I'm wondering whether you can remember the first piece of art that had an effect on you, whether it was writing or something else or a film, when you realize that art has a power to affect us on a deep level rather than just entertain us.
It probably was. It was probably a book. My dad would read to us every night before bed, my brother and myself. So, it was probably that, you know, journey, the imagination.
Mm. Yeah.
But it might also have been music, because I'm really emotionally affected by music and it's something that I use in my work. And, and it's also, it's really, like harbors a lot of nostalgia for me. So I have a terrible memory for anything, but, my lines,
right.
I can memorize my lines, but otherwise I can't remember, you know, what happened. And even in, I'll finish watching a film or reading a book and I'll realize at the end that I've actually seen it or read it before. And don't get me started on people's names, although at least I'm also really bad with faces.
Right.
But music has this, it can bring me back to a moment in my life where I can remember every detail of what was happening. So,
yeah, interesting. Yeah. I'm intrigued by the potential of art to have a healing effect. I'm wondering whether you feel art can help people consider and process difficult issues, whether it's happened to them or things around them, and whether making art and experiencing art, you know, can help us to perhaps process some things and perhaps even have a healing effect. Is that something you've thought about at all?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely how I get through my life. You know, whether it's like painting, I studied fine arts before I committed entirely to this career. So I'll still paint or draw and find it very therapeutic, you know.
Yes.
It's meditative. And then, of course, confronting things that may have happened in our lives or sharing, you know, a perspective on it, so something similar that somebody else went through and wrote a book about or whatever.
Yes. Yeah, the kind of empathetic.
Or poetry. Or,
yeah.
Yeah.
Element.
And I think that's great that it could be healing on a larger scale, too, to sort of have this empathy for people who have gone through something that you may not have gone through personally.
Yeah.
But you can find understanding and empathy for it in that sense.
Yeah.
It's also just, you know, the whole, like, the beauty of ephemeral quality of life. I think it's something that's really difficult to deal with on an existential level when you have a small child, as I do. And, you know, there's no changing that. So we'll just find a way to appreciate it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, with a film sort of like Pi too, which is quite dramatic and in a very short period of time, I think makes you think about a whole lot of different things. You know, it can sort of expand one's horizons of thought, you know, to perhaps think in a different way about yourself and the world too. Yeah.
Yeah, and change your patterns of thinking about yourself and the world.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Finally, the world of acting is highly competitive, especially in Hollywood. It's very hard to succeed. I'm just wondering, I mean, I think at any level that you're at in acting, you know, whether you have a degree of success, you're very successful, you're still sort of trying to break out. I'm just wondering how people keep their sense of themselves and you specifically, you know, how do you keep your sense of yourself and what you want from life in such a challenging environment?
Simply, I don't.
You don't keep a sense of yourself. You don't know who you are anymore.
It's okay. It's a journey. I don't have to be the same person. It's exciting. I wake up and wonder which person I'm going to be today. I think that it's helped me to be a little bit. I joke and I say deluded, but maybe it's not that much of a joke. You know, I think you have to be a special kind of confident or deluded to go through pilot season, for example, and get rejected, you know, three times a day, 5 days a week, and say, it doesn't have anything to do with me.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't tall enough for that part, or I was too short for that one. Or whatever it is, you know, doesn't say anything fundamental about who I am as a person or as an actor.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it, you know, I don't know. Sometimes I wish that I had chosen something else, because I don't. I feel hamstrung by the lack of agency, so
right,
to speak.
Yes.
I have great agents, but they I don't get to choose when it's my turn to do my thing that I love to do.
Yes. And
that's frustrating. And I think especially, you know, as I get older and I'm wondering what else is going to be out there for me, what other parts are going to be out there for me as I get older. It's a source of constant stress.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's, you know, difficult and an issue to some degree in all areas of the arts. It's sort of more than other careers, you're kind of somewhere or nowhere. You know, it's sort of, you know, if you're in business, you might want to be CEO, but you work hard and you become like a senior manager or something, you know. But it's sort of with the arts, it like you say, the power of, especially in acting, because, you know, you need to be given a role in order to do it. I think it is particularly pertinent what you're saying, and that powerlessness in some ways.
That's
a good point.
And then, you know, I have a great job right now that I'm working on. We're on episode 21 of 22. I've been shooting since July, and when people ask me how I am, I say, well, I'm exhausted and I'm overwhelmed and I feel like I'm failing at work and dropping the ball at home, and my anxiety level is through the roof, but I mean, it's fun.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of one extreme or the other, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you talking to me, Jessica. And
it's absolutely my pleasure. I've so enjoyed it. Thank you.
Great. And, you know, I hope that the listeners, you know, are going to get a lot of opportunities to be able to see Pi. It's a really very entertaining and interesting film. So thank you again for your time.
Well, I also can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Well, it'd be good to see it for the first time on the big screen. I think that would be...
Yeah, with an audience.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I can't wait.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. My special guests are from the Cinequest world premiere film Pi. And thank you again to Jessica Paré, who stars in Pi, along with one of my next guests, Adria Tenner, who wrote and directed Pi, as well as starring in it. And if you want more information on Pi, you can go to the film website, pythemovie.com, and there's a trailer there which gives a wonderful taste of the film. We're going to go to a break now, but when we come back, I'll be joined by Adria Tenner and also by award-winning editor Mindy Elliott. So join me for more conversation after these messages.
Like the music from It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copland? Have you ever wondered what the full songs sound like? Now you can find out by listening to the new EP, It's a Question of Balance Music, available from iTunes, Amazon, and itsaquestionofbalance.com.
No white horses to play the game, and I wish I knew your name. Something about you in the rain. Did I or didn't I say it's forever? Well, I know I said it, babe, it just goes nowhere. Well, we can do the things we want, we can do the things we like, but if we're taking all the time, well, I just don't think that it's right. Just that. I think that there's more to us than just that.
It's a Question of Balance Music. Download individual tracks or the whole EP from iTunes, Amazon, or itsaquestionofbalance.com.
Hi, I'm Casey, and I'm the second generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. We pride ourselves on being Santa Cruz's community bookstore. We feature an extensive selection of new and used books, children's books and toys, gifts, cards, magazines, and games. Our knowledgeable booksellers can help you find just the right book or gift. We hope you can join us for our author events each week, featuring best-selling authors and books of local interest. And if you can't get downtown, our website has over 3.2 million titles, which ship directly to your home. We even have experts on site to help you publish your own book or family history. Come visit us downtown or at our website, bookshopsantacruz.com.
Bookshop Santa Cruz has been an independent bookseller for over half a century in the community we love. Visit Bookshop Santa Cruz downtown. We love our customers and the books that make it all possible. Bookshop Santa Cruz, online and in downtown Santa Cruz.
Can you imagine living without stress, anxiety, or fear? And can you imagine a life filled with harmony and inner peace? Is that even possible? The Ananda Yoga and Meditation Center in Scotts Valley offers simple tools to help you become more effective at work and more centered in the face of life's challenges. At Ananda, we offer yoga classes for everybody, inspiring workshops, devotional chanting, and Sunday services based on the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda. Our teachers and therapists are highly trained professionals who work together to inspire a healthier you. And your first Ananda yoga class is always free. Visit us at anandascottsvalley.org or call 338-YOGA. That's anandascottsvalley.org or 338-YOGA.
Well, Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my special guest from the Cinequest world premiere film, Pi. Just a reminder again, for more info on the film and also to see the trailer, you can go to piethemovie.com, and that's Pi as in fruit pie, so P-I-E, themovie.com. And before the break, I was talking to one of the stars of the film, Jessica Paré. Now I'm very pleased to be talking to award-winning screenwriter, director and actress Adria Tenner, who wrote, directed and starred in Pi, and also to award-winning editor of Pi, Mindy Elliott. Welcome to the show, Adria.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And welcome, Mindy.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
So, Adria, Pi is a pretty unusual story. As I said to Jessica earlier, I don't want to give anything away, but perhaps without doing that, you could tell us what inspired you to tell this story.
It was Gwyneth Paltrow and her spiralizer tendencies. I have all of her cookbooks. She's a funny character. So that was part of what inspired me. The other thing is that I wanted to put, you know, a bunch of women on the screen, or, you know, at least two. And I wanted to tell a story, mixing up an archetype of a theme that I feel like we see a lot, or I see a lot, and I wanted to play it out with a different twist.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to go too much into it without revealing the twist. Yeah. So listeners,
exactly.
when you've seen the film, listeners, you can come back and listen to the to the interview, and you'll have a whole new, different perspective on it. But as a writer, Adria, what is your process? I mean, how do you first form the idea of what you might want to write? You spoke a bit about that, but then how do you get from that to a screenplay?
I just keep writing and writing. Some stories I feel like need to be beat out. But some stories are, you know, I know where the story is going to end. So I just need to find the right steps to arrive there. I feel like with writing, it's almost like dancing. There's a feel to it. So, you know, I think we've all seen so many stories, so many movies. And there's like a feeling like, okay, this is what's supposed to come next. This, we need to have this feeling. We need to, the story is going to be at this place. So it's kind of a vibe.
Yeah. And I think, you know, most of us have kind of written stories at school at some point. You know, we've done a bit of creative writing. So I think, you know, it's easier for people to imagine that than perhaps writing a film script, because you're only vocalizing and putting out there, you know, a certain amount of words, and the rest of it is you're having to visualize in your head what it's going to look like and sort of storyboard that, at least in your mind, in a way, aren't you? Quite different to what most of us do, or are familiar with anyway.
I feel like also with film that the less people say, the better. You know, you want to come into the scene as late as possible and leave the scene as early as possible, so that there's a sense of, oh, what's happening? You know, when the scene begins, the audience is needing to pay attention to what's happening, because it's not so laid out clear, you know, from the beginning. And then we get out a little bit sooner than you might think, so that people are anxious to see what happens next. So just, you know, a 3-minute scene is probably going to be better than a 5-minute scene. Same material.
Yeah. So sort of a reverse Aaron Sorkin approach.
Yeah.
Because he has a lot of lines. But I can see what you're saying. Yeah, definitely. I think it's like novel writing. There's different approaches, aren't they? And but definitely I think creating that desire to want to know more as you come in and as you leave, that's got to be a good thing, I think, in a film.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Aaron Sorkin, he's just going so fast that we're just trying to keep up with him. So he's got this different take on it, which is pretty masterful too.
That's a good point, actually. You're right. It kind of creates the same effect, doesn't it? But in a different way. Yeah. Because his mind is, you're just like, wow, where am I? Yeah. I hadn't thought about it like that before. Pi is, as I mentioned to Jessica, it's very visually rich with vibrant sort of lush colours. Was the production design an important part of your vision when you were writing the film, or did it come later?
I think that I've definitely visualized it, and I think that when we started to conceive the script, once the script was done, it became this fun thing for everyone to figure out how we were going to make these cherries. In fact, we bought, I can't even tell you how many different kinds of cherries we bought to try to see which ones were going to look the best. And it's really funny. The ones that look the best are probably the ones that tasted the worst. I think it was just that we had the script, and then we thought, oh my gosh, this can be just, you know, food porny.
Yeah.
If that's a word. And then, you know, we had an amazing production designer, Denise Hudson, who's Emmy nominated. She's, worked on American Horror Story and Room 104. And she's just fantastic. So she had a great sense and style and really helped us put everything together. She also helped pick out the clothes.
Lovely clothes. I found the film pretty uncomfortable to watch at times. It all looks so beautiful, but that is juxtaposed with the information that's being revealed, and it's the sort of thing where you don't want to watch but you don't want to look away. And I'm thinking that was intentional on your part to create a feeling of discomfort physically that parallels the discomfort of the emotions being considered.
Yeah. I wanted there to be really, I think that's what attracted me to this dynamic between these two women is I grew up kind of the dork in school, and it was always, always awkward and uncomfortable. So I loved exploring that with this and, not just dealing with uncomfortable situation, but just then wallowing in the uncomfortable lack of sound or dialogue, you know, the uncomfortable silences.
Yeah.
And then we also had an incredible sound designer, Jamie Cooper, who put all of these really like uncomfortable noises in and just the right places. There's like a bird chirping at a certain moment when Jessica says something disappointing to me. I really wanted to just, you know, it's just, I mean, the subject matter is so uncomfortable and crappy. So just, you know, let's just get it all out there.
Yeah.
They get really bad.
Yeah. Mindy, Pi is a short film, and Jessica Parry and I spoke about how everything has to count with a short film. I'm wondering, what are the editing considerations with a short film?
Oh, that's a very good question. I mean, it definitely starts with the script and, the brevity of it and the economy of a short film is baked into the script. And Adria did a fantastic job of making sure that it moved along at a good clip, but the story was long enough, you know, the script was long enough to tell the story. so that we could take the breaks that we needed to take to build tension, or to, you know, take an extra beat for a comic effect because there's so much humor in it as well.
Yeah.
So I'd say that the economy of a short film is dependent on the script, and Adria totally delivered on that front.
Right, great, yeah. I like the end of the film, how significant scenes play out during the titles. How did that approach come about?
You know, that's funny because I think it came about, Adria will correct me if I'm wrong on this, but it sort of developed after we started the editing process. And then there was a final song introduced. So that, you know, there is a song at the end of the film, and we wanted that to play out. And then as we, like, massaged the end of the film and put the song in, it just naturally begged for, you know, that stuff to be intercut in the credits, like to have a little bit of a beat so that then there is a reveal. And it was just a nice transition too, so that it didn't happen too quickly, you know, after the final beat of the movie, that those little after scenes are like just little, you know, treats.
Yeah.
But still part of the story.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it worked really well. I really liked that. Yeah. Yeah. So a nice kind of payoff for the audience.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was really, really, really fun to edit, work on that with Adria in the cutting room.
Yeah. You've worked on quite a few documentaries, such as the award-winning A Plastic Ocean, as well as working on features such as Downsizing. I'm wondering whether the editing approach is different for fiction as opposed to documentaries.
You still have to you have to tell a story. You have to get information across in a cinematic way. I mean, the container, the formal container is different from, you know, piece to piece, but you still have a responsibility to communicate visually as much as possible. And then, you know, the words have to, again, an economy of words to get your point across. There's a little bit more put on the editor with a documentary. You function even more as a writer when you're editing a documentary. But the whole process is pretty much the same in terms of storytelling, I would say.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, interesting. I'm wondering what attracted you to film editing, because I think for people outside the business, it's sort of, you know, people might, when they're young, think, oh, I want to be an actress or something, or a director. But, you know, you don't hear people often saying, I want to be a film editor. You know, I'm just wondering, how did you come to want to do that and do it?
Well, my path was actually through theater. I started as a theater artist, acting and directing, and taught school. And when I moved to Los Angeles, I got into film as a producer's assistant and director's assistant. And it was going through the process of post production and editing alongside of, you know, directors and producers that made me realize it was very similar to doing theater. I always compare it to a really long rehearsal process, editing.
Right.
you're just not directing live actors. Their performances are already done. But everything else is still like a rehearsal process. You're blocking, you're deciding the rhythm, what you're going to look at, when you're going to look at it, what you're going to hear. There's a lot of similarities to theater. And that's what drew me to it.
Oh, interesting. I wouldn't have thought of that. Yeah. Adria, Pi makes the viewer think about a lot of things in a short time. And it brings up the question of how women deal with betrayal by a lover, but it also highlights the fact that women betray other women from a sisterhood perspective. I definitely found myself considering this, you know, seeing how the story plays out and how it's easy in a situation like that to make the man the only villain. I'm wondering, is that something you also wanted the audience to consider, you know, how women treat other women?
You know, this is something that I really am glad to talk about. I find myself in my writing and being embarrassed as a woman by what I'm writing. And I think I'm doing that because I'm playing out this archetype that I have ingrained in me, that we all have ingrained in us, the way women are in the world. And, you know, Jill Soloway gave this fantastic talk about the male gaze. Mm. And, well, she was talking about the female gaze. So when I first wrote the script, the ending wasn't the ending that I wrote. Mm. And I thought, this is so cliche. And also the fact that I was going to share this with Jessica, I think I had written one ending and proposed this idea to her, and she said she would read it. And before I sent it to her, I rewrote it because I had I really wanted it to be great, because I wanted her to like it and I wanted her to do it. And I didn't, I almost felt embarrassed by the way I had ended the film. And there was another ending that I had thought of that makes me even more embarrassed, which is a sort of, you know, it goes into a lesbian affair.
Hmm.
And I thought, you know, this is just me playing out this archetype, this male fantasy of what women
right.
are and
yes.
do.
Yeah.
And so that is really how, and I hope I'm not giving away the ending, but that is how I came up with the ending, is I wanted to write myself out of this archetype that's so ingrained in us, you know, and not do the thing that we always see and not have that happen. So, you know, have the women be pitted against each other. And I think about it a lot now. I don't know whether it's because I'm approaching middle age, or I am middle aged, or this Me Too movement, or if it's yeah. just like that we're all finally, that we're all, everyone's consciousness is
yeah.
awakened.
Yeah.
And we're just cracking this path that we just go over and over and over and down and down and down again and again and again. Let's rewrite it into, you know, some other
yeah
other ending.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, as I said, the film definitely makes you think about a lot of different things, and obviously, you know, what plays out and the decisions they, you know, they make. Still, you think of the reverse of that or other things that could have occurred. And that's kind of what I found myself thinking about, is just like you're saying, you know, women can be pitted against women, but you know, when there is a betrayal, there's two people involved. And if on either side, you know, if the person getting involved wasn't willing to hurt, you know, if the one woman wasn't willing to hurt the other woman, then these things wouldn't ever happen. But we don't really think about it like that so much. So, yeah, it started right. off a whole train of thought for me, definitely. I'm sure it
well,
would.
And I have to say that I loved working with Mindy, because she really wanted to try everything, wanted to try every, you know, version. We even did a test screening of the film, and you know, it was pretty put together, and we test screened it, and we got some really good feedback, and we tore it all apart. Willingly tore it all apart. It was her idea, I think, the test screening.
Right.
The ending wasn't that different, but we did put a little, there was a little change to the
yeah.
ending. We'll just say that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and as we were saying with the short film, all those little changes make big difference. So,
yeah.
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 As I mentioned to Jessica, you know, Hollywood in particular, I think in film, can be a very challenging environment wherever you are on the success trajectory, particularly as an actor, I think. I'm wondering how you keep your sense of your authentic self within all of that?
It's really
or do
cool
you like she said I don't
to. Yeah
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really cool to hear her talk about that. It is so hard, and I think it's a real mind, sorry if I'm not supposed to say that, for especially for a woman, and especially women as we grow older in this business. But the way I and what Jessica said about, you know, I wish I could just get up every day and do what I love, and it's just not in my power, but I have figured out a way to just do it, which is, you know, making my own film, making my own part that I want to play, and just continuously just be doing what I want to do. I know there's an aspect of being selected that's very attractive to actors, and of course, for me, you know, it's no different. I love getting a part, but that is, I've learned to separate that out. I mean, it's wonderful to get picked, but it really, like she said, it just doesn't mean anything about you. It's really about so many other things. And then I just try to pick myself to do what I want to do and be just doing the next thing. We just shot another series. I wanted to do a series. I wanted to be in a series of I'm repeating myself, but in a piece that is a series piece that, one episode after another. So we just finished shooting this. So I really, if anyone out there is listening to this that and they're wondering how to, live life, I just think just like do what you want to do. Don't wait for someone to pick you to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good advice. I'm wondering whether I asked Jessica this, but whether you can remember the first piece of art of any kind that had an effect on you, where you realized that, you know, art can affect us on a deep level rather than just entertain us.
I think mine is super embarrassing. Not as beautiful as hers. My grandmother took me to see Annie when I was 6 at the Fisher Theater in Detroit. And I wanted to leave home and I wanted to be in Annie. I think that as I grew up and, it's so difficult. I found it so difficult to learn history, to read about the Civil War, you know, all these facts and this happened and the dates and, but seeing Gone with the Wind, I suddenly understood the Civil War because I was moved and I cared about these people and I understood what the, what this meant to the South, and then, all those Tennessee Williams plays of, Streetcar Named Desire. You understood why that woman was that way because she had to go through what Scarlett O'Hara went through in Gone with the Wind. I feel like when you're moved by something, it just really helps me understand the world.
And what about you, Mindy? Can you remember the first time you had a real experience with art?
It probably choral music. My family is just a huge family of musicians, and especially vocal music, and my grandmother was a voice professor, and just as a child, she always, whenever we were in the same place, in the same town, I was always treated to concerts, a cappella concerts, and there was just something about the sound of a choir, you know, a beautiful choir that I find beautiful and just, it fills me. It just fills me with a wonderful sense of being. And I think that's the first sort of emotional, you know, gut level response and memory that I have to art. Then as I got a little older and I started intellectualizing things a little bit more, a huge impression was made on me when I saw, there's a painting by Bruegel called The Fall of Icarus. And it is, it's just these plowmen on a hill working the land, and in the background, Icarus is just slipping into the water. And it's just a beautiful reminder of all the things that are going on in the world in parallel time as we're just going about our business. And I try to think about that every day. That has made a profound effect on me.
Well, unfortunately, we're coming towards the end of the show, and I wanted to ask you, Adria, what are your hopes for Pi going forward, and you know, how can people support it, see it, follow it, its progress and all of that?
Well, they can go to the website and sign up to be on the mailing list and follow our Twitter, you know, Pi the Movie, Pi the Movie, and you know, Instagram or whatever, to find out when we're going to screen, and hopefully we'll get into some festivals all over the world. We know that it will play in the Cleveland Film Festival, which is a very prestigious festival. And
when is that?
Also, that is April 4th.
Oh, okay.
Through the 14th, I believe. And then we'll play towards the end of March at the Montclair Film Festival in New Jersey, which is a new festival, but really wonderful, beautiful place and a great place to screen. So I just, my hope is that we get to play around the world, and Mindy and I get to travel around and talk about making the movie. Hopefully Jessica can join us every once in a while.
Yeah. Well, I wish you all the best with it, and thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And you're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. Just to remind you again, if you want more information on Pi, you can go to pythemovie.com. You can also go to the show website, itsaquestionofbalance.com. There'll be pictures there, a link to the film trailer and all other information, as well as the audio of this interview. Thank you for joining me, and I look forward to being with you again next time.